Hello, welcome to 5 minutes with Pastor T. Jesus Christ, still the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's so good to be with you this morning and today. I want us to share some few things concerning the fact that we are one with the Lord. So I've titled today's message, You Are One with the Lord. You know, for a very long time, Christians were told, you know, I don't know where the knowledge came from, but we're told that even though we are born again now, we are not close to God. It's like you have to do certain things to get close to God. You see. So I remember some years ago we had to do certain things. We had to do so many things in order to get close to God, you see. But we are actually one with God. We don't move away from God and come, you know, our sin does not take us away from God and our righteousness does not bring us close to God. You see, the righteousness that you try to maintain by works is not good enough to bring you before God. It is the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ that makes you good for God. And that righteousness is not obtained by works. It is obtained through the works of Jesus. So all you need to do is accept what Jesus Christ has done. That is why when you become born again, you become a child of God and you receive the righteousness of God into your spirit, you see. So by virtue of that righteousness, you are brought close to God. We are not just close to God, but we have become one with God. Hallelujah. We share in his nature, you see. We share in his nature. If you read in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said it in a wonderful way that no other person can say it. John 15, verse 5 says that I am the vine. Jesus says that he is the vine. He's the vine. That means that he's a tree. He says, I am the vine. Then he says, and ye are the branches. The life that flows through the vine is the same life that flows through the branches. So we are one with him. You see, we have become one with him. His nature is the nature that we share. We share in his nature. We share in his being. We share in his likeness. That is why the Bible says that as he is, so are we now in this world. So we don't go to him. We don't have anywhere to go. You are actually in him. You are in Christ. You are in God. Hallelujah. And you are one with him. We are one with him. So if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, the scripture says that, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And our born-again experience gives us the ability to be joined to the Lord. He does it, you see. He does it. There's nothing that any human being can do to get close to God. Nobody could. Nobody could. The presence of God was hidden in the Old Testament. It was hidden in that Holy of Holies. Hidden in the Ark of Covenant. Nobody could go there. The Ark of Covenant stood on its own. That showed you how holy God was, you know, or how holy God is, rather, you see. And how unholy man is. But God descended to our level. He descended to the level of man and raised him up to his level. We are not trying to make ourselves equal with God. God has made us equal with him. That is what has happened. It is religion that makes you think that God is so high and you are so low. You see, the life of God has come into us and God has lifted us up to his level. He says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are now one spirit with God. He is the vine. And we are the branches. That says that I'm the fruit-bearing part of God. Hallelujah. The life of God shows up through me. And through me, the world gets to know who God is. Oh, hallelujah. I have the nature of God in me. What makes God? God is inside you. Hallelujah. We are one with him. We are not separated. We are not separated. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, there's something very remarkable there. Paul says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who has known the mind of the Lord? You see, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13, a similar scripture is quoted. It says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? It was a question during those times. In the Old Testament, it was a question. It says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor has taught him? Then in Romans chapter 11 verse 34, Paul quotes that particular scripture in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 13. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Nobody can be the counselor of the Lord. But in the New Testament, when you read in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he asks the same question. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Then he goes on to say that, but we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So by virtue of our born-again experience, we are given the mind of Christ. We are given the thoughts of God. Now we can engage God in thoughts. We can engage God in discussions. Initially, nobody could. No human being could. But God has had it as his aim to bring us to his status, to bring us to his class. Hallelujah. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he says that, For God has called us into fellowship with His Son. He is faithful, is He who has called us into fellowship. He has called us into fellowship with His Son. We are now in the same fellowship with the Son. We are now one with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. For who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Say to yourself, I have the mind of Christ today. You may not feel like you have the mind of Christ. You may check your thoughts and realize how terrible your thoughts are. But you do have the mind of Christ. You do have it. Don't say to yourself that you don't have the mind of Christ. Say to yourself that you have the mind of Christ. And as you say to yourself, you realize that your thoughts are changing. You realize that your thoughts are lining up with the thoughts of God. Your thoughts are becoming similar with God. Hallelujah. We have the same life. Same life. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, it's even emphasized some more over there. Ephesians 1, 22. It says, and has put all things under His feet. You know, Paul's describing all the beautiful things that God has done in Christ Jesus for you and I. And one of the things he said was that God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Then he says, which is His body. The church, which is His body. The fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. When you become born again, you are made a member of the church. You are made a member of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. Jesus Christ is the head. You and I are the body. You may be the smallest toenail in the body of Christ. You are still part of Him. The life that runs through the head is the same life that runs through the body. We are one with Him. I mean, think about what this kind of knowledge can do for you. The fact that you are not far away, you are not away from God. You are not far away from God. He is with you and you are with Him. He is in you and you are in Him. We are one with Him. We are united in Him. Hallelujah. We have His life. The life that He has is the life that He has given to us. Hallelujah. And His life is an excellent life. That means that I will never fail in my life. That means that I have a life, I have the nature of success in my spirit. That's what it means for you. You have the life and nature of success in your spirit. It means that you can never fail. You do not fail. You don't fail. It's not possible. It means that whatever you touch succeeds. It means that wherever you go, God goes with you. It means that you carry the presence of God in your life. And you cannot but go where God wants you to go to. Oh, hallelujah. So we are members of His body. We have become one with Him. We enjoy the same life. We are one with the Lord. And we have His mind. That is so nice. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I love you very much. I'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, God bless you. Bye-bye.